Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, president of Aerospace Management System Institute in Lakeland, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello and welcome to the 40th annual Sun and Fun fly-in and exposition here at beautiful Lakeland Linder Regional Airport, Lakeland, Florida. I'm Ben Coleman, one of your hosts, and we're here today to enjoy the fellowship of people here to fly airplanes. And I want to welcome here Mr. Dick Snook, Mission Flights International.
Thank you, Ben.
And Mr. Aaron Lorison. How you doing, Aaron?
Good
with
well,
Dynamic
you.
Aviation out of Bridgewater, Virginia. Dick, tell me just a little bit about what MFI, or what does MFI stand for?
Okay, MFI stands for Missionary Flights International. We are based in Fort Pierce, Florida, and we fly air support to about 700 missionaries that live in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. So the missionaries rely upon us for all their mail and cargo. It all comes to us, and then we know where they are in Haiti or the Dominican Republic or even the Bahamas, and we deliver it there on a regular basis, four or five flights a week with DC-3s. We, in the last few years, have we geared up from piston DC-3s to turbine DC-3s because we work our aircraft real hard. And so we like to keep our service very reliable and dependable. We also take a lot of work teams in that'll stay for a week or so, maybe do dental work or work with an orphanage or schools or something like that. So this also is our 50th year of operation.
Wow. And you've been with them how long, Dick?
I've been with them 28 years, soon be 29, starting our 29th. And my background is Air Force, Vietnam, DC-3s or C-47s in Vietnam. And in our situation, serving the Lord, you can just kind of stair-step and see how I was led to what I'm doing today. And was preparing for that, unbeknownst to myself, but it was happening. And so it's been a great joy to be able to serve our fellow man, our missionaries, and serve the Lord himself.
Excellent. And Dick, not to make Aaron feel like he has been slighted in any way, Aaron, how long have you been with Dynamic Aviation?
Not near as long as Dick's been with MFI. I've been there 15 years this year.
Good. And what is your role with Dynamic, Aaron?
My role is an executive vice president, so mainly do administration, but a pilot and mechanic by background.
A pilot mechanic or a mechanic pilot?
Well, it depends on who I'm talking to.
Okay. Which is most important, Aaron? Not to put you on the spot, but what's more important, being a mechanic or being a pilot?
Well, I've used my pilot skills more, but I like to know how everything works, so that's why I did the mechanic side as well.
That's great. And gentlemen, I'm going to pull up a picture here. This is for our camera folks to get prepared. What's he going to do this time? And for those that may not be able to view the picture, did you guys have anything to do with bringing these aircraft in?
Yeah, we certainly did.
We might have.
Pleasantly surprised to see that on the front page the first day.
This actually, it helps to know people.
Yeah. This is Aaron's airplane, Dynamic, and this is Missionary Flights Turbine DC-3 and behind it.
A beautiful example of hard-working airplanes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Aaron's able to be with us. Carl Stolzfus, can you tell a little bit about Carl, Aaron, and
sure.
what Carl's role is with this airplane?
Yeah, well, so Carl's the founder of our company, Dynamic Aviation, and he has had this airplane for a number of years now. It used to be a working airplane, and it's now a showpiece, and so one of the things that he's done is taken and restored it to its original Air Force colors, and we've started taking it around to air shows.
And anything else? Tell me what Dynamic does. I mean, we talked about what you do for Dynamic.
Sure.
Executive VP, and you handle the minutiae,
yeah.
Some of the paperwork, and make sure that things are on track.
Yeah. But Dynamic Aviation is an organization. We're a fleet operator of primarily King Airs and Dash 8s, doing special mission work. And I tell people we don't haul people and we don't haul cargo. It's all the other stuff, unique things that you can do with airplanes that we figure out how to do.
And when you say, and again, this is for the audience, when you say special missions and things, can you get a little bit more specific? What's your lines of business? And
sure,
what do you do to help people that they don't even realize what you're doing to help
them? There's a lot of ways that we're helping people behind the scenes. We have five primary areas that we work in, one of them being sterile insect release, which is where my first job was, where we drop sterile Mediterranean fruit flies or screwworm flies in the LA Basin or and around here in Florida, and also down in Panama. We have airborne data acquisition where we do commercial mapping to be able to look at depths in waterways, for example, or find mines through geophysical survey. There's aerial application where we'll respond to public health emergencies like the West Nile outbreak in Dallas a couple years ago. That was our fleet of aircraft that came in and helped with that. And we do fire management work. We have lead planes that help lead in tankers and do basically air traffic control over fires. Mm. And then we also do a lot of intelligence gathering for the Department of Defense.
And can you tell me a little bit more about that, or would you have to kill me?
Let's take the latter.
Discretion. Do you have a clearance?
I do, yeah.
Okay, excellent. So that's part of the roles, I guess, of Dynamic is it's almost like a facility. I've seen photographs of the area, and it seemed like the facility is almost very very well controlled. I mean, good, secure, and that's for a good reason.
Yeah.
Because you do have some sensitive equipment there.
The
can you tell us? You mentioned sterile insect technology.
Mm-hmm.
How do you sterilize insects?
That's a great question.
Do you use little tweezers? I mean, how is it done?
Yeah, that's the first conclusion people often come to. It's actually a program with the radiation via radiation with the International Atomic Agency and the. Flies are basically hatched in Florida or in Guatemala to the pupae phase, and then they're radiated and then shipped to the location where they're going to be dispersed and then hatched to an adult fly and then released. A fairly unique process that most people don't know about.
Is it painful? I mean, do we hurt the little
insects? No, I think they're fine. I think they enjoy it.
Because for all of our insect lovers out there, I just want to make sure that we're not harming the little jewels, but Dick, as
yes.
far as the bouncing, I'm going to bounce back and forth with you guys, mm-hmm. but the Mission Flights International, how many hours would you estimate that you fly either quarter or year?
Close to 2,000 hours a year with our DC-3s, and we're back and forth, like I said, 3 to 5 times a week. We also fly a lot of trips to the Bahamas, especially in the summertime,
mm-hmm.
because youth groups from churches or college kids are out of college. It's a good opportunity for them to go to the Bahamas and maybe do Bible school for the kids, maybe do light construction painting or cleaning up a lot, getting ready to build another orphanage or a school or something like that. And then, of course, in Haiti, there's lots of needs. Where most of the missionaries we fly for live in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a various. We've hauled a lot of different variety of things on our airplane. We've hauled animals. We've hauled goats. A lot of times in Haiti, the breeding stock of goats get pretty run down. And they don't produce much meat or milk, either one, anymore. So some of the missions have agriculture projects, and they'll bring in breeding stock and control that and try to get better milking goats for the people, because the goat can eat pretty much anything, doesn't need a lot of specialty food to produce some milk for the kids. And so we do that. Horses, we've flown horses in the DC-3. The DC-3 is so versatile, you can just about do whatever you want with the aircraft.
Well, we've been out, and I'm sure that we'll have a little bit of B-roll to share with the audience. That they're very unique aircraft. Of course, Carl's and Aaron's DC-3 is a little bit different role in life, moving people. But I'm sure it'd be reconfigured in a heartbeat. And that's one of the things that I did a little bit of study on Dynamic, and they're very flexible and versatile in what they do.
Yeah.
And gentlemen, what has Sun and Fun, how many times have you been to Sun and Fun, or how often do you come?
Well, this is the first time we've actually had a DC-3 on display here.
Hmm.
We've been here a lot of different times. We've been here at the MASA tent. That's the mission, the IAMA tent. That's where Mission Aviation is presented to your people, your guests that come through. Not just us, but MAF and JARS and some of the other ministries that are around the world serving in Mission Aviation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a booth there as well, so we can explain to people, walk through, give them some literature, whatever. We've had that often, but the first time we've had a DC-3 here, and we really appreciate the invitation and the contact. The airplane itself, a DC-3, is a draw just by itself, regardless of what you do with it. You know, whether you display it, like Carl's in his beautiful condition, or ours in a working condition, and tell them about what we do. So many people come and say, well, my dad flew one of those in the war, or my granddad jumped out of one, or D-Day, you know, there's just so much rich history to the DC-3. And we've had a good relationship with Carl for many years. We've purchased 2 DC-3s from Carl in the past years. His dad was a DC-3 enthusiast, and so our relationship with Dynamic and Carl Stolzfus goes back many years. and he's very mission-minded. Mm-hmm. He gives us parts often that he has, still some DC-3 parts around. So, but we appreciated the opportunity to be here to share with your people, whether they're mission-minded or not. They come by the airplane, and we can share what we do, and invite them to come and work with us, load airplanes, or do something in the volunteer realm. We are a 501c3 mm-hmm. nonprofit ministry. All of our staff, all of our pilots have to raise their own personal support. Mm-hmm. When we use our airplane to help missions, all they do basically is buy the fuel for the airplane.
Excellent.
They don't pay the pilots, mechanics, or the purchase of the aircraft. So it's a great ministry, and we're able to share it with thousands of people here at Sun and Fun.
Good, good. Well, hopefully this won't be the last time that you bring three in.
We're ready to come back.
Aaron, how many times has Dynamic, to your knowledge, been here to Sun and Fun?
This is actually the second time that I'm aware of, but the first time that we brought an airplane to display. So, and I have to say, you've done a great job with the weather.
Well, we ordered it special just for you guys bringing the threes in. But it's a good thing you didn't come in on a Saturday, because
right.
the weather was not good on Saturday, trust me.
Right.
But Aaron, what are the high points that you have seen? Because probably it's a lot different than it was on the first time you came down.
Sure.
But
yeah.
What's different? What's changed, if you could recall?
Well, I really enjoyed the Blue Angels yesterday, and then just driving around and seeing all the airplanes. It seems like the attendance is really good, and there's just a lot of great airplanes on display. So enjoyed that.
And any kids? Do you have kids or around?
Yes, I personally, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, I have 4 children and 14 grandchildren.
Wow.
So I know I don't look near that old.
No, you don't look old enough to be a grandfather.
But what a great opportunity it is for me to share with them and them with us. We have a good family relationship. Our daughter was a missionary in Africa for 2.5 years, flying on a Turbine DC-3 owned mm-hmm. by Samaritan's Purse.
Mm-hmm.
And we cooperate with them to also, you may know or may not know, Samaritan's Purse has a Turbine 3 in Africa, but it's U.S. registered. And so for check rides and new pilots, FAA isn't going to go to Africa. So they'll come, their pilots come to us, we do the training, getting them current, getting them ready to go, and then the FAA comes to our operation, flies our airplanes, mm-hmm. and qualifies their pilots so they can go back. So that's another just indication of how missions work together to get the job done.
Well, it sounds like a lot of camaraderie there.
It is,
too.
Yeah. We all have our niche, and we're not interfering with each other, we're just cooperating together. And when it comes time to do something special, we all use our equipment and airplanes to serve the Lord.
Well, it would be a challenge to see all of your grandkids hauling in, hauled
it
in.
Would,
on your,
wouldn't
on
it? But it'll haul it. DC-3 can
one
do
these
it.
Days. And Aaron, any bambinos right around your
area? Yeah, my wife and 2 boys came with us, and 3 and 6, and they're just having a great time.
Good.
So it's fun to see their excitement about airplanes and just enjoy all the scenery.
Well, gentlemen, I kind of set you up for asking about kids, because there's something that we in the aviation industry are always, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, because we talk to ourselves so much.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do to get kids that don't have the benefit of growing up with granddad flying Turbine DC-3s around and dad's the executive VP of a thriving Department of Defense contractor? Mm-hmm. How are we going to go out and get those kids and expose them to what, and it's not always about the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the engine or the wheels or the technical information inside the aircraft.
Yes.
It's about the opportunities that it unlocks.
Right.
And the next time that you catch yourself at 10,000 feet on a beautiful Cavu day and you look down and you just wonder, man, I just wish everybody could experience what I'm experiencing here.
Yes.
And how do you think we can do that, and how can your organizations better provide that opportunity to folks that may not know?
Yeah. Well, the first Saturday early March for the last several years, we've been at Fort Pierce for 8 years. We were in West Palm Beach for 42 years. But up at Fort Pierce, we have beautiful hangars. We've got 2 of them that hold the airplanes. And the first Saturday of every March since we've been there, we have a family day. And we invite the whole community. There's no charge for anything except taking the airplane ride to buy gas for the airplane. But there's hot dogs, there's chicken dinners, there's kids games, paper airplane throwing contest, a bounce house. We have little games where you throw the beanbag through a hole and there's an airplane on it. So everything's revolved about aviation. And then, of course, the family's taking airplane rides.
Mm-hmm.
This past March 1st, we had about 1,100 people that showed up. Families, moms, dads, kids running everywhere. And we took 650 people airplane rides in the DC-3. We had 22 flights around the county.
Did you say 650?
We called 32 people every flight. The DC-3 is capable of 32. We loaded up all the seats, and that flight attendant worked out really well. We set up in the hangar, we set up the cabin of the airplane in the hangar so that we could give the briefing that's required to all the passengers, safety briefing in the hangar, point out emergency exits and so forth. And then we got on the airplane, the flight attendant just had to say, okay, remember those emergency exits? There they are, for real. They're there, there, here's your seatbelt, and we could be in the air quickly. So we did 650, 22 flights around the patch, 32 on each flight.
Dick, I don't want to start any company rivalry here, right. But Aaron, does Dynamic do anything to fly kids around?
We haven't done anything on that scale.
That's a challenge.
I'll take that as a challenge. But we do, I think that your point is important, because we do need to spark an interest in aviation young, and unless you're happen to be around it, you may never have the chance. And I'm a product of that. I had grew up with no aviation in my background, and it was somebody that took me on a flight in high school that totally changed the direction of the career path I chose and sparked my love for aviation. So I think it's important that we do that for people that don't have the opportunity to be on the inside.
True. And you know that spark. Go ahead, Dick.
We have another sort of a pseudo program. We don't publicize it or make a big deal out of it, but I travel a lot because we're supported by churches and individuals and people around the country. I travel a lot to mission conferences, and oftentimes a 15, 16, 17-year-old boy will come up and say, you know, I really like what you guys are doing. I saw your video. And he'll begin to talk and ask, and I say, your parents here? Yeah, their parents here. So what we invite them to do is come down and spend a week or two with us in the summer before they graduate from high school, old enough to be responsible for themselves. We will actually check them out. They're over 16 years old. We check them out as a flight attendant on the airplane. Hmm. They may not be the official flight attendant. We only need that if it's over 19. Mm-hmm. They can help serve the people. They help unload the airplane. They go on a couple flights. We have some a trainer airplane. We give them 2 or 3 hours of dual and put in their logbook. Our guys are flight instructors. So now when they go back home, it's them, their mom, and the Lord decide if they are interested in mission aviation or aviation in general. So we key off of those young men to say, here it is, you know, and this is what we do, and if you like it, then go for it, you know. Go to college, the right place, and get the right education and the hours. Mm. So we do a lot of things to encourage kids.
What type of training aircraft do you use at MFI?
Well, most of our guys come to us with their multi-engine and their training. They do not have DC-3 training. Of course, you don't get that very much any place except us. So they'll come in with 500 to 1,000 hours or so, let's say. And a lot of them have been through mission aviation schools like Moody and so forth. And then, of course, what we do, they all have to be an A&P. Mm-hmm. They work on the aircraft at least
now, what,
six
what
months.
Is an A&P?
A&P is aircraft and power plant mechanic. A lot of flying organizations do not require that. However, we do, because we work in third world countries. Who's going to work on the airplane but us? So our pilots can actually get out and work on the airplane if they need to. Oh,
but now, wait a minute. I thought pilots, they just move the controls.
Yeah.
And just, don't they ride around with the scarf around their neck and sign all the autographs and meet all the pretty girls?
That sounds good.
Sometimes you mean they actually have to work on the airplane?
They do. They have to work on the airplane.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Our guys are great at it. We fly on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays. So Monday and Wednesday, everybody's in the hangar. Pilots, mechanics, everybody. And the mechanics and the pilots are often the same people. And so they're working on the aircraft. And the advantage of that, too, is that when they're in a flight and there's an issue with the airplane, something isn't working quite right, and they decide to do a write-up. Mm-hmm. Well, before they get home, they probably figured out what that is. You know, I know where I go when I get on the ground. And they can take care of that. And oftentimes they're right on. So our guys work on the airplane when they first come for 6 or 8 months. Don't do any flying. Mm-hmm. We just want them to learn the aircraft, all the systems and all that sort of thing. Then we actually check them out in the right seat. Mm-hmm. Because we fly international, they have to have a second-in-command type rating. We do all the training in-house. It doesn't require the FA. We do fill out the form paperwork. Mm-hmm. It's then at the FA, and they have to give that. It puts it on their pilot certificate. And then they have a SIC, not AT, or a type rating and SIC. Then when they eventually become as a captain, we do all the training. So all of our training is done in-house. We don't do any basic training at this point as far as starting from private on up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're considering that with the second hangar and a little more personnel. We may consider that in the future. We now depend on the other mission agencies that already do that.
Well, the pilot mechanic concept is very, very, I think, interesting, because Dynamic, you guys get out to some kind of remote areas as well, don't you?
Sorry.
Is there anything you can share with us about how Dynamic does the their mechanical activity in the field.
Sure, yeah. And it's a similar situation to Dick's where we have airplanes in remote locations and it may be a very small footprint, maybe two pilots. So one of them needs to be a mechanic because they're out in Africa somewhere or up in the north of the 60th parallel or down in South America doing a small operation, but they need to be able to fix squawks or things that come up.
Hmm. See, the interesting thing is there's very few people that realize that these flights are going on in the background and what impact it can have on them personally, I mean, in the long run, both organizations. And the flight training, when I mentioned the flight training aircraft, mm-hmm. I was hoping you're going to say that MFI has a Aranca 7AC, maybe a couple uh-huh. Satabrias around. It's a, you know, like Dynamic. Surely Dynamic has some training aircraft of that caliber.
We use simulators. We have two King Air simulators, and most of our same situation. We don't do primary training, but we expect pilots to come in with a certain amount of training, different levels of experience based off what business segment they're going to fly in, and then we'll train them up to our standard in the King Air or in the Dash 8 for the operations.
See, I remember that I read something about Dynamic. I did a little bit of mm-hmm. studying on it, guys, and Dynamic had something called the Cub Club. And I just thought that was a neat concept. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, we have a Piper Cub that employees are allowed to fly, and they basically have to just pay for the instructor, and then they could fly in the airplane.
You mean for they don't have to pay anything?
No, other than the company was putting fuel in the airplane. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to throw the gauntlet down again now. Okay, you're giving all the free rides to the employees.
Right.
These guys are actually taking the employees go out and fly a Cub.
Right.
Come on, guys. I mean, MFI has got
to... Well, we just to back up a little, we have a fellow who leases the space from us, mm-hmm. and he specializes in mission aviation training. So that's kind of a separate operation. So we refer our young men and women to him. When these young men come down that I talked about, then mm-hmm. we allow Jim to do the training. He has a 172, and he also just recently bought a Cessna 170 for tail dragger instruction.
Okay, now you're talking.
Yeah,
now
that's separate from us, but it is on our hangar,
yeah.
and we have good relationships with them. Any of our pilots can work with him on flying their families around in a 172. I do that often. Obviously, I can't take a DC-3 and take my grandkids up, so I use the 172 to do that.
Well, Dick, that's a real nice save after Aaron just kind of blew you out of the water with the company cup.
Got to stay with him.
But actually, guys, the flying these big, beautiful, heavy hauling mm-hmm. aircraft, long distance, long legs, when you get back down to the nuts and bolts of what flying is really all about, I can still see you in a Nordo Cub or a Champ, and with the wheels in the right position on the aircraft. And if you learn how to fly an aircraft with the wheel way back in the tail, you can fly just about anything.
You can.
So that's why, and Aaron, I did a little bit, I did a lot of research. You've been an excellent guest on the MFI. And Aaron, I'm trying to pull stuff out because I did a lot of history on
that. Did you? Good.
And the fire management. I understand you guys just added some aircraft to the fleet in order to help Bureau of Land Management with their firefighting. Can you share a little bit
sure.
of that
yeah.
with us?
Yeah, we just bought our first jet aircraft, so we bought a CJ Citation, and one of three we'll ultimately end up with, and we're in the process of modding the first one now. That industry is changing as the air tankers that they've been using are aging, and they're moving to jet-powered tankers, and now they need faster airplanes to do the lead role, so we're moving into the jet world now.
So but how does a jet airplane feel around all the King Airs and everything you have at the airport? I mean, does the jet feel a little bit nervous?
Yeah, you think it'd be a little insecure with all those King Airs on a ramp. I think it's holding its own.
How many King Airs do you operate, or how many of the fleet?
We have about 80 aircraft total in the fleet, and that's a mix of probably 12 Dash 8s that are operating and the rest various types of King Airs, and then the one CJ right now, which will grow to three here over the next year.
Excellent. And as far as the future, where do you see the future going for your companies and the legacies that your companies will leave? Because I know Dynamic, that's been a family business for, I'd say, the beginning or many years.
Yeah, there's like a 70-year aviation legacy in the company. This particular part of the company started in 1967. but it goes back to the founder's father from a legacy standpoint.
Wow. And do you have any pilot mechanics coming up in your in the Lorson house?
Well, I think I probably have one of the two that will be. We'll see. It's a strong interest.
Well, good. And I know you don't push them into it. It's one of those things that if they have it, they develop the passion.
That's
they're
right.
going to do it, and there's not anything that you can do to stop it. Much like your first ride, and we have a little bit of time here, and I'd like to develop this a little bit more about. And Dick, you may not have had a chance if you were thrown into the military, and you said, "Okay, son, that's your airplane. You're going to go fly it." Okay, Aaron, a little bit different story. In high school, went for a ride. Do you remember your perceptions of that ride that you can share with us? Because there may be somebody in the audience that's never been up in an aircraft and wondering, I don't know, I read about too many accidents and I don't want to die today. So, you know, how can you share that with us here?
Yeah, so it was over central Kansas, and I was headed down a track of genetic engineering. That's where I was heavily into biology. This was a junior year. And a friend of a friend who had just gotten his commercial rating took us flying, and I just remember being amazed at what you could see, just the views, the feel of it, kind of the accelerations, all the different aspects that you get when you're in an airplane that come together, the science as well as the art that's behind it, and it sparked something. And that next summer I told my mom I'm gonna go take a flying lesson. She's like, okay, and no concept of how aviation worked, but she said that's fine. So, and that really is what just started the trek.
So really it was the perception of how far you could see.
Yeah, just the views were just amazing.
Yeah. So. And that's something that you can't reproduce on television, and you can't read it in a book. However, I imagine that was a real shock to you when you started going for your instrument work, where you fly so well and you can't see anything but
the
dash panel in front of.
But to this day, that's one of my favorite things to do, is to break out on top of a... take off in the rain and break out on top and see the sunshine. So.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Dick, how did you get your, were you thrown into it, like off the dock?
A little bit. My first airplane ride, I was about 10, 11 years old, and I tried to think about it. It was out of cow pasture near our farm. A friend up there, a relative, had an airplane. He came in, was taking rides out of the cow pasture, my sister wanted to ride, so the guy said, "I think we can get you both in there." So she sat on my lap, and I'm looking like this around her, but I can remember how exciting it was to fly even that cow pasture out, and the view.
What kind of aircraft were you?
You know, I don't know. I wasn't very old then, but I've thought back. I think it was an Aeronica Chief, because it was side-by-side, very small. It was either that or a T-Craft, one or the other. And like I say, I didn't know airplanes then. And then I flew once more, I think, with a friend after that. But then in the Air Force, they put me in aircraft maintenance. And I flew for the first 2 years, flew around the world basically, Africa and South America on DC-6s, a C-118 as a crew chief.
Mm-hmm.
19, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing that they trusted me. But anyway. And then it's interesting because I was on DC-6-118s and I got orders to Vietnam. So I got to Vietnam. Here sits this beautiful C-118. Spit polished, beautiful. It was actually Ellsworth Bunker's airplane. He's U.S. ambassador to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, that's going to be my airplane. Lo and behold, they put me on C-47s. And I thought, this is crazy. I went and fought with him and argued with him. I said, look at my records. But, you know, in hindsight, God knew exactly what he's doing. But 20-some years later, I'd be captain on.
It works out.
It does work out.
Does. And, Aaron, I've been grilling you guys about your past, your background, and hopefully what you can do for the industry. What is it that you can share with us, not only the media of aviation and the safety aspect of media, but what can Sun and Fun, the organization that's here enjoying their 40th anniversary, what can Sun and Fun do better to help you guys?
Well, I think what they've done so far as just creating a venue for people to come in and have conversations and to see other aircraft, exchange ideas. I mean, just to continue that path where these venues that draw attention to the local press outside of aviation and kind of spark people's interest to come check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're on the right track.
Good. Dick, anything to add?
Same thing. I think it's good what you're doing, and just keep at it. I think encouraging people to come, make them feel welcome when they get here, and which we have. We felt very welcome. You've given us a vehicle to drive and get where we need to go to do certain things. Because it does take some coordination, obviously. We've got eight people here to keep everything going. And just, I think it's been very good, good support base for us. And we'd be welcome to any promotion you'd like to do and come and take some pictures of our DC-3 and, you know, in their everyday clothes, so mm-hmm. to speak, loading mm-hmm. them for cargo and using that for promotion to show them what Maviation is all about. We're welcome to that anytime. And just use that as a promotion.
You'll be surprised if we're successful, and we are going to be successful with putting on Air and Space Television, a network, you're going to be one of the shows.
But
gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Dick, Aaron.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming with us today and talking with the audience.
And thank you.
And again, this is another sign off, but it's really a sign up for another show. I'm Jim Coleman, one of your hosts for Florida Aviation Network, and thank you for joining us.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.